one another toward love and good deeds, and our goal is that we grow into the men and women God desires us to become through the work of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to continue on. We have three more statements that we're going to be working through, and today is our next statement on the idea of being a Bible-centered community. And so I'm going to give you the statement right away here, and this is what we're talking about today. That we believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe God's word is reliable, that God's word can be completely trusted to accomplish all that it promises to do in matters of faith and Christian practice. We believe the Bible is useful for teaching and training us in righteousness, equipping the person for every good work the Lord calls us to do. And we believe following the words of the scripture is the key to life in all its abundance. And so this morning, we're going to break down this statement here a little bit and just show you some of the passages that helped inform what we wrote here. And so with that, I'm going to ask that you open your Bibles. We're going to look at three passages today. The first one being in Matthew 4, and then we're going to be in 2 Timothy and Romans. If you can't skip that fast around in your Bible, the scriptures will be on the screen behind us. So would you stand with me as we start reading our first passage here in Matthew 4? And just before we read, let me just pray. Lord God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can just dive into your word, that we have this freedom, that we have your words plain and simple for us to understand. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit, and his role is to reveal the truth, to open our eyes. And so this is what we ask, that Holy Spirit, that you would guide us into all truth this morning. That you allow us to see scriptures in a new way, and that it would hit our hearts and minds in a new way, God. Lord, we pray that we would never get to a place where we're just used to hearing the words of scripture, that they would fall fresh on us every time we read them. So this is what we pray. This is what we're inviting you to do, God. That your spirit would just guide us this morning as we read through these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" And then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord God to the test.'" And again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only shall you serve.'" And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. Now turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, Paul writes this, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work." And our final passage here, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You may be seated. All right, pop quiz time. Does anyone know what question Jesus asked more than any other question in the Gospels? You want to take a stab at? You're all free. Oh, there we go. It's a good one, but it's not the most. But I applaud that you had the courage to be first. What's that? What do you want me to do? Also, good question, but not the most. Well, you know, Jan was first, so. Anyone else want to take a try? Yeah, Harlan. Do you believe? Also another good question, but not the most. All right. Have you not read? It's the one question he asked more than any question in the Gospels. Have you not read? Similarly, have you never read? Other one, he inquired, what is written in the law? This was the number one question that Jesus asked people in his interactions. And I think, obviously, Jesus knew the importance of Scripture. And it bared out as we looked at Matthew 4, right? The passage we just read. Every time he was tempted by Satan, he would always refute the temptation with Scripture. And this isn't the main teaching of today, but I would say that is significant for all the things that we go through in life. You know, Jesus was modeling for us. He was modeling for us how to navigate this life. We live in a spiritually broken world at the moment. And so one of our main line of defenses for things that we're going to have to confront, whether it's private thoughts or things of that nature, was he's given us the tool, his word, to be the first line of defense against those things. And so we need to, again, as things come our way, Scripture talks about taking every thought captive, but I also think being held to the truth of God's word. That's where we're able to discern. And this is where Paul was giving instructions to Timothy, as we read in that passage, about here's how Scripture can make you wise. Look, you're going to have trouble in this life. You're going to have people who are deceptive. And I don't think I have to talk too much about that in this world today. Deception is all around us. People are always in it for their own personal gain and things of that nature. And yet, what he tells Timothy, you know what's going to make you wise to those schemes? Knowing the Word of God. The Word that was taught to you from your childhood. And not only will it make you wise, but he goes on to say, hey, it will be great for, in the sense of teaching, correcting, training in righteousness. Again, the Scripture here has a purpose to it, and it's multifaceted, depending on what you're going through. But knowing it is imperative, and Jesus knew the Word of God. And you could say, well, he's Jesus. He's supposed to know the Word of God. It's his Word. But again, he was leaving an example for us to follow. The psalmist said, I've hidden your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against God, against you. Right? But I also like to think of that in the sense of, okay, it's not just singular to the idea of not sinning against God, but it's also informative as to what pleases God. And so it takes on both forms. So the value of God's word is something that we wanted to be all in. And as we started created that statement, that value statement of being Bible-centered living, and what did that look like? We knew that Scripture is paramount to our success in faith. And so a couple things as we crafted that statement that we wanted to make clear right away, and especially for me, it's not only something for us to visit a church and to be reminded of, but think about this. We put it on our website. As people come by and they look at churches, I can't tell you how many people, visitors over this last summer, found us because of the website. We want people to know what we're about, what we stand for, what we believe. And so right off the bat, we have this here. We believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. In simple explanation, we believe that when we read the Bible, we are reading God's words. Penned down for us to know his will. to know how we can honor him, how to have a relationship, what makes him upset, all these different things. God has not left anything, you know, in secret for us when it comes to knowing him. It's right there in front of us. And so what we believe, we take God's word as we read it as his words. And this idea is supported when we look at scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Peter, and 2 Timothy. The 1 Corinthians passage says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual." And it goes on to say in 2 Peter 1:21, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And then obviously our passage today, all scripture is breathed out by God. So if there's any question in your mind as to what we believe about scripture, here we go. What we have is the written expressed will of God. And this is how it was communicated. This is how it was brought about. We conclude that not only that scripture is reliable, as we're saying in our first statement, but it's also inerrant and authoritative. And I love this idea. A correct view of God will always lead us to a correct view of his word. And what I mean by that is that if we believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, completely perfect, his word will have the same characteristics. So having a right understanding of who God is will always lead us to a right understanding of God's word. We also affirm that the scripture, it says this, that not only is it's brought about by the Holy Spirit, that it's his word, but we believe that God's word is reliable, that God's word can be completely trusted to accomplish all that it promises to do in matters of faith and Christian practice. And so a good question to kind of apply to that idea is this question of, what is the story the Bible is telling? What is the story that the Bible is telling? We believe the Bible is telling this big story of God's redemption through Jesus Christ. From cover to cover. It's no mistake that the Bible starts in a garden in Genesis 1. And at the end of Revelation 22, it ends in a garden city. Go check it out. There is a beginning and an end to this story. And the story that it is telling, the thing that it's pointing to, is God's wonderful plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. And it's so important for us to understand this context. So looking at this passage here in John 20, 31, it says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name." This is the story of the scriptures. This is what it is saying. And this is why I you'll hear me, actually, we had a great conversation at one of our first fireside chats this summer about why I believe it's important that we read the scriptures in context of what it's trying to tell. For an example, I won't read a science book to learn about faith in Jesus Christ. And I won't read a math book to learn about Jesus Christ. Every book has a context to it. The Bible's context, the centerpiece of it, is Jesus. And again, this is not to say that Scripture does not talk or inform us about other subject matters. So I'm not saying that we can't find out other things from it. But what I am saying is we need to also understand it perspectively in context, that it is telling a story of redemption through Jesus Christ. And I think this is the biggest thing when you talk about people with some of these other subjects. There's a lot of great debate that can be had in science and things like that. I don't think the Bible is in opposition to science. I don't. I think we can have some really great conversations. But I think when people try to solely rely on the Bible as if it was a science book or a math book or something that it's not, I think some people will get frustrated. People need to be reminded, what is the point of the scriptures? What is it pointing to? What is the centerpiece? What is the story that God is telling? And we need to direct people back that way. We believe the scripture basically is ultimately a tool to prepare us for eternity. This is what we believe about the scripture. And this is why we say that we believe God's word is reliable, that God's word can be completely trusted to accomplish all that it promises to do in matters of faith and practice. In faith and practice. It's not trying to teach me algebra. But there's math in the Bible. If you ever look at the dimensions of the temple and try to figure all that out, have at it. Cubic square feet, things like that. Maybe Barry can help me out with that, the math side of it. But again, what is the story that it's telling? There are some great resources, and it would take way too long for me to try to unpack it all in one service here, but there's a great website called gotquestions.org. Yep, .org. And you can even ask this question, is the Bible reliable? And it's going to give you all sorts of additional information on the transmission of the Bible as a historical document, all these different things, the miracles and things like that. It's a fascinating thing for you to read and get acquainted with. But we believe that it is authoritative, reliable, and it lacks nothing when it comes to preparing us in faith and Christian practice. We also believe this, and this is the last part of our topic here, or our statement here. It says, we believe the Bible is useful for teaching and training us in righteousness. You can see that in the passage of Timothy, equipping the person for every good work the Lord calls us to do. But I love this line that ends our statement, and that's why I underlined it. It says, we believe following the words of Scripture is the key to life in all its abundance. In all of its abundance. So we look at John 10:9 and 10, it says this, Jesus is saying, I am the door. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. A question here that comes to mind is, what is this abundant life that Jesus is talking about? Is it talking about success in our earthly sense here? That we would just have everything that we want? That we'd have all the toys and bells and whistles and nice homes and things like that? Or is he talking about maybe something different? I think what he's talking about is the abundant life is life in him. Jesus goes, he says this later on in the scriptures, he says, look, what does it profit a man if he's gained everything in this world but forfeits his soul? Jesus understands the bigger picture, sees the big picture. This is, you know, it's hard for us to wrap our head around sometimes, but this is temporary. There's eternity yet to come, forever. And the abundant life, the key to that door, that forever eternity is through Jesus Christ. He says, I am that door that you need to go through. And so as we think about the scripture and we think about abundant life, it describes a person who's found a relationship with Jesus. We believe the Bible, God's word, helps us understand how to have that relationship with Jesus. And it helps us to know what it means to follow Jesus and to be in this process of being made holy and righteous. This is the value of Scripture. And this is, again, I love that last line of our statement that we believe following the words of Scripture is key to the life in all its abundance. We are not talking about having more stuff. We were talking about having a relationship with Jesus. It is that relationship that will fill us better than anything else that this life can offer. So a relationship with Jesus is key to abundance. So this morning, I kind of want to land here. I want to land on the idea of giving us some tools to navigate the scriptures. this morning, because I think it's really important when we look at these passages here that God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's meant to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And then this question that we covered a few weeks back about give us this daily bread. We want the word of God to have significance. And I can't tell you, even we're teenagers or even adults over the years, that sometimes scripture's hard to read. It's just difficult to navigate. People may start off reading, but then they quit. I think that's why there's a huge success in devotional books, you know? But the reality is that we're kind of living euphorically off of someone else's work. They've put the wrench time in, so to speak, in the Word of God, and now they're communicating truths. God's desire is for you to have that same experience for yourself with His Word. So I want to give you some tools here. What are some things that you can do to get the most out of your time? The first thing is this. I'm going to say to start with a Bible translation that helps you get into the Word. This is so important, and I want to hone in on something. Start with a translation that gets you into the Word. That is not to say that that is the only translation you will ever use in your life. Because there are translations that I like, but now as I've matured, I realize I also need to mature in how I read and approach the Scriptures. So this is the first thing that you need to do in understanding and at least starting in the Scriptures is this. And I put up this chart. I hope you can see it enough. If you can't, I'll email this out later this week for you to see. But this chart gives you a sense of the different translations that are laid out over this graph here. And you have a word for word. And so you'll have some translations that capture word for word. You'll have some translations will capture thought for thought being expressed in Scripture. And then you will have some translations that are paraphrases. People who have taken the Word of God and tried to put it in modern understanding. And so I know for teenagers, a lot of them like to start out with like the Message, because it's easy to read, it helps them kind of connect the Word of God and basic thoughts and things and ideas. However, I would say it lacks the depth of the word for word translation. And so this is really important because where you start out in a Bible matters. This morning we had Bible study downstairs at Tar. We were looking for a Bible and we found one. It's Old King James. That was pretty rough this morning. But it's more of an accurate translation word to word. You just got to get through all the these and thous and all those things. I was telling to the Bible study class this morning that when I started out Christian school in second grade, they made us memorize King James Version scriptures. So I got used at a very young age reading it, but it's amazing since I put it on the shelf for a long time. When I hear it read, I'm like, oh, that's tough. But I know people love it, and that's great. And the point is that it gets you into God's Word. So if you love the King James Version, God bless you. Read it. Soak it up. Some of you guys like the NIV. Okay, that's great. You're going to get some thought by thought. I've gotten to the place now, I'm a pastor, but I've gotten to that place now where I pretty much have a lot of these versions, the thought for thought, the word for word, the paraphrase. And sometimes I'll take a passage of scripture and I'll read it in one version and I'll read it in another version. And again, and I'll work through and see and compare, see how it goes. But finding a version that works for you to start with, that's the point. That's number one. Number two, find a reading plan that helps you read the Bible. This is so easy. You can almost in any search engine ask that question, scripture, Bible reading plan. And you'll get 1,000 hits for different ones you can start with. And this is a way to kind of work yourself through the scriptures. Every year, I try to read through the scriptures. The way I do it may not be the way I would recommend for somebody else to do it. But there are reading plans in abundance. Other tools, BibleGateway.com, BibleStudyTools.com. These are all great websites that you can go to that offer reading plans. Number three, make a plan as to the book of the Bible you will start in. When I started out in my faith, I didn't know where to start. No one actually talked to me about this. Pastors didn't preach on it. So I sometimes would go on retreats and open my Bible and let the wind blow the pages open to where I want to read. Anybody been there? I don't know. It's not a recipe for success. Although God can use that, I would suggest, make a plan. And here's what I would tell you about that. If you start from cover to cover, understand it's 66 books. It's not, yes, it's telling a big story, but different books will focus on different things. So you will have books that focus on laws. You will have books that will focus on prophetic things, letters to the church, gospel witness accounts. You'll get into prophecy, poetry. So knowing where to start is key, because I've also heard that, hey, I started reading in Genesis and I got lost in Deuteronomy. I just shut it. And then I tried to start again and I got into Leviticus and I shut the Bible again. Well, yeah, if you're not into laws and all that, don't start there. If you want to know more about Jesus, start in the Gospels. Knowing where to start is key to getting the most out of your time in the Scriptures. And as you grow and mature, getting into some of those other books, you'll be able to kind of face those with a new sense of just a proper understanding of what you're getting into. And so, again, find a reading plan that helps you. Make a plan as to what book to start. And then this, make a plan as to when you will read it. And the simple idea here is be intentional. If it's mornings, read mornings. I've heard all sorts of speakers say, hey, you should always read it in the morning and read it at night, or read it at night before you go to bed, not in the morning. The point is, read it. And the point is, make a plan about it. Again, I said this a couple weeks ago. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Put a stake in the ground. Say, this time here, I'm going to read it here. Whatever works for you. But make a plan and be intentional about it. And then the last two things here, pray and ask the Holy Spirit. Scripture says in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you in the things that are to come. This is why when we stand and read Scripture, I always want to pray first. Because I want to ask for the Holy Spirit's help to understand this. As you read Scripture, God has given us His Spirit. Jesus even said to the disciples, it's better for me to leave and then the Holy Spirit come. That's a pretty big, powerful statement. Jesus understood the role of the Holy Spirit and the role it would play in our lives. How many times do we just jump into Scripture and we don't even invite Him into that? Maybe we assume it. But I'd rather not assume things. Invite him into your time. And then this is just a practical thing that I like to do from time to time. I don't always journal it, but these questions are in my mind. So as I read Scripture, I approach it, what am I learning about that God is like? Is there something about God's character that's being communicated as I read this Scripture? Is the passage asking me to do anything, right? Because this is about discipleship. It's about growing in your faith. It's not just staying a babe in the faith. It's moving to maturity. So is there something that the Scripture is asking to do? And then other things. What am I learning about myself as it concerns my willingness to believe or act on something I'm reading? Like if I read something and my flesh rises up and says, I don't like that one. There's conflict there. It's okay. How are you working through that? Because I think, number two, it informs us how we should pray. God, I'm struggling with this. I'm reading this, I see it, I hear what you're saying, but I'm having a hard time with it. Help me. So these are just some of the things that I use to navigate as I'm reading and getting into Scripture. And again, this isn't a list that covers everything. But again, my point is, we need to be a church that's all in on Scripture. Because it's helping us to prepare for eternity. And there's some immediate benefits in how we face this world. So again, if I kind of went through these slides, I'll send out an email this week with some of this information in it. And again, if you weren't writing or your mental picture's a little foggy, I'll send out an email and you can dig back into it. But this morning, I want to close with just, again, rereading our statement and this value statement on Bible-centered living. And so if we can read it together, that'd be great. We believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe God's word is reliable, that God's word can be completely trusted to accomplish all that it promises to do in matters of faith and Christian practice. We believe the Bible is useful for teaching and training us in righteousness, equipping the person for every good work the Lord calls us to do. We believe following the words of Scripture is the key to life in all its abundance. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you that you give us your word. You don't allow us to go through this life without direction. You tell us what makes you happy, what makes you sad. Your scriptures tell us that it's your intent that we would have a relationship with you. And that relationship aspect is a big deal to you, so much so that you would send your son to die for us, so that the sin that gets in the way of that relationship is removed. We thank you for that. God, you know that our time on earth is limited, but the time that we have that's coming for eternity, that's a big deal. And so we thank you that, again, you give us your word. You don't hide from us. You're always calling out to us. And we thank you for that. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would learn to value your word. You don't want to see us struggle. And so that's why you give us the scriptures. That as we're tested in our faith, as we're tested in this life, that we can recall the truth when there are so many false things out there that are bombarding our minds, our interactions with people. You help us to have a firm foundation to stand on. And so we thank you for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would fall more in love with you each day, and that in spending time in your word, we would just get a real sense of your presence in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.